Good morning. Welcome to B'nai Ashurim's Beis Medrash program. This morning, we're pleased to welcome Rav Sacks again for Sunday morning shiur. We will be having, there will be no shiur next week. The following week, there will be shiur, and the week after that, we'll be posting it. This morning shiur on the Tochacha is sponsored for Fur Shlema, Chaim Yisachar, Ben Chaim Mushkad, and Mosecha Nishmat, Avi Mori, Nachum Yitzchak, Ben Yaakov Yisrael. I'm a color go to Rav Sacks.
This coming Shabbos, we read the Parshas HaTochacha, the Tochacha, which is found twice in Chumash, in Parshas B'chokosa, and in Parshas Kisavo. And the Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph that it is not coincidental that we do so, but this was a takanas Ezra. The Gemara tells us that Ezra tikkun em Yisrael, that there was an independent takanas Ezra to read the brachos and klalos of Sefer Vikra before Shavuos, and to lay in the brachos and klalos of Sefer Dvarim before Rosh Hashanah. And Tosus immediately points out that this will explain the sequence of the parshiyos. Tosus is bothered, and that daf Megillah daf Lamed Aleph Shalom Aves Midrash Shor Rabbeinu Nissim, that why is it Tosus writes that if it's necessary to combine various parshios and to separate others, Tosus writes we do something at times that is somewhat surprising. The parshios of Matos and Masai, which are quite long, we will often read together, and then we will separate Nitzavim and Vayelech. So Tosus questions, why in fact should that be true? Why not separate the long parshios of Matos and Masai and read the very brief parshios of Nitzavim Vayelech together? That is Tosus's kasha. So Tosus answers, it's exactly because of this point. It is necessary to read the brachos and klalos before Rosh Hashanah. That was a separate takana of Ezra. It begins with Parshas Kisavo, but it also extends into Parshas Nitzavim as well. And therefore, specifically, Kisavo, Nitzavim, and then Rosh Hashanah. If that indeed was the Takanas Ezra, if, for example, a person were to separate Matos and Masai, so therefore Tosus writes, what would end up is that you'll be a week off, it'll end up that Shabbat Shuva, after Rosh Hashanah, you're going to lay Nitzavim and Vayelech together. But the Takanas Ezra insists that you lay Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. So Tosus points out it's for that very reason that we combine the long parshios in order to separate the shorter parshios in order to ensure that Nitzavim is the theme that one would lay prior to Rosh Hashanah. And therefore Chazal so beautifully arranged the sequence of the Kriya Satorah in that fashion, when you double up and when you separate in order to accommodate the takana of Ezra. But it's important to note that this indeed is an independent takana. You know, sometimes that we don't even notice that that's true, because after all, that since it so happens that the parshios beautifully fall out in that fashion, we think that, you know, this is just a seder of Kriya Satorah, but really, it is indeed much more. With this in mind, one could address the following question. That Mishnah tells us in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph that Ein Mafsikin B'Klalos, that one is not allowed to have a Hosafa during the Tochacha. You know, the Mishnah described earlier, Daf Chaf Aleph, when are you allowed to have Hosafos and when in fact are you not? It's somewhat unclear from the Mishnah. It's obvious from the Mishnah that Me'ikar Hadin on Shabbos one could have Hosafos. When it comes, for example, on a weekday, one cannot have Hosafos. But what about when it comes to Yantif? When the Mishnah says that Ein Mosif Aleihem, that one is not allowed to have Hosafos, does that include Yantif, or in fact, does that not? And that's my focus between Rashi and the Ran. Rashi writes that the problem with adding Aliyos is because of Bito Malacha, that it extends the Kriya Satorah, and we don't want to extend the leaning unnecessarily. We recognize that people have to get up and they have to go to work, and therefore, we don't prolong the Seder HaTfilah. So therefore, Rashi writes that Hosaf is forbidden whenever there is a Heter Malacha. One is allowed to work on a weekday, on Rosh Chodesh, even on Chol HaMoed, there's a Heter of a Dover HaAved, and therefore, since it's a Yom Sheyesh Bo Asiyas HaMalacha, so in such a case, we don't have Hosafos. However, according to Rashi Shita on Shabbos, or on Yantif, or on Yom Kippur, then Hosafos are in fact allowed because there is clearly an Isser malacha. So that's Rashi. Shita that a yom tov so sofos are permitted, and this is against the view of the Ran. If you look in the Ran, Megillah Yedbeis and Medbeis and Dafi Harif, the Ran writes that the problem with Osafos is not just simply a function of Isser Malacha. But why is it that on a weekday there are three Aliyos, and Rosh Chodesh there are four, and Yom Tov there are five, on Yom Kippur there are six, Shabbos there are seven? Why specifically is that the case? So the Ran writes, in order to demonstrate that there is an added, a Tosefes, Kedusha Sayon, Chazal instituted an additional Aliyah to teach you that, you know, Chol HaMoed doesn't have the same status as a weekday, and Yom Tov doesn't have the same Kedusha as Chol HaMoed, and Yom Kippur is set apart from a typical Yom Tov, so therefore the number of Aliyos is supposed to reflect the essence, the Kedusha Sayom of that particular day. And therefore the Ran explains, if a person will have a Hosafa, you're infringing, you're encroaching on a higher level of Kedusha Sayom. You'll add an Aliyah to Chol HaMoed, it's as though you're equating it with Yom Tov. You'll add on Yom Tov, it's as though you're equating that day with Yom Kippur, and therefore no Hosafos, with the one exception of Shabbos. Once one has reached the highest level of Kedusha Sayom, so as such, there's nothing wrong with having an additional Aliyah. But only on Shabbos is that permitted, not when it comes to any other day, including Yom Kippur, including Yom Tov. You know, our practice is somewhat unusual that typically, even shuls that have Hosafos will not have a Hosafa on Yom Tov, seemingly because of the Shita of the Ran against the Shita of Rashi, with one exception, and that's Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, we certainly add Aliyos. We don't just simply have the five kruim, but we have the chasanim, and in essence we are adding aliyos to the minyan. We don't just have five aliyos. We have more than that. It's a little bit unusual, but typically speaking, Yom Tov no, with exception of Simchas Torah. And I'll give you another exception. Let's assume, for example, you have a Yom Tov Shechaliyos B'Shabbos, where Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. One should be allowed to have Hosafos. After all, according to Rashi, you can have Hosafos even on Yom Tov. And according to the Ran, you have a Kedusha of Shabbos, so therefore you're not encroaching on any heightened level. But typically speaking, the practice is when you have a Yom Tov Shechaliyos B'Shabbos, to have seven Aliyos and not to have more than seven Aliyos. So that also is an exception. That Yom Tov Shechaliyos B'Shabbos is an exception of no, and Simchas Torah is an exception of yes. So how do you account for the cases that are Yotze Min HaKlal, these exceptional occurrences? Rav Soloveitchik once explained that perhaps there's a common denominator between Simchas Torah and the Yom Tov Shechaliyos B'Shabbos, and that is as follows. Typically speaking, as the Shita of the Ran, that on Shabbos we will allow for Hosafos, and Yom Tov we will not allow for Hosafos. How do you determine Shabbos versus Yom Tov? So the simple answer is, well, is today Shabbos or is today Yom Tov? If you look at the Kedusha Sayom, maybe one caveat. Now, maybe one looks at the Kriyas HaTorah. Is it a Shabbos Kriyas HaTorah or is it a Yom Tov Kriyas HaTorah? What is the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah? You know what's unusual about Simchas Torah? Even though the Kedusha Sayom is one of Yom Tov, but the Kriyas HaTorah is Parshas HaShavua. It's a Shabbos Dika Kriyas HaTorah. No, you don't lain Parshas Emor. You don't lain Parshas Re'eh. You lain a Parsha. You lain the Zos HaBracha. And the flip side, when it's Yom Tov Shechaliyos B'Shabbos, it may very well be that it has a Kedusha of Shabbos, but the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah is always a Yom Tov Kriyas HaTorah. So maybe that is our practice. Whenever the Mechayiv of the Kriyas HaTorah is Shabbos, then we have Hosafos. When it is a Yom Tov Kriyas HaTorah, then we do not have Hosafos. So if you have exceptional cases, a Yom Tov at the Parshas Shel Shavua, we have Hosafos. When you have a Yom Tov Shechaliyos B'Shabbos with a Yom Tov Tikkun Kriyas HaTorah, in such a case, we do not. But a fascinating possibility in terms of our practice. So the Mishnah tells us, even though... Right. Right. The Ran writes, typically on Shabbos you could, but you're not encroaching on any other Kedusha. So on Yom Tov they're not. On Yom Tov, if they'll ask you, how many Aliyahs did you have today? And you'll say six. You're associating that Kriya with the Yom Kippur Kriya. And therefore the Ran writes never to go ahead and to do so. Only once you've hit the top, so to speak, of Shabbos, so in such a case then you're allowed to have Hosafos. Right? Many have the practice of not having Hosafos. After all, realize, when the Mishnah describes Yustaf HaSafos, what was the HaSafos? The Mishnah tells us that in that time the practice was the Poseach, the Kohen used to recite the first bracha, and the Achron used to recite the last bracha. So what did it mean to have a HaSafos? That somebody else would get up and take over? But Rishonim do comment that the Zman Hazeh, that we have individual brachos for each and every aliyah, so in some communities you'll find they avoid HaSafos even when it comes to Shabbos, because not to unnecessarily have any additional bracha. I mean, then under the Mishnah, no, in such a case, only one set of brachos, in fact, was recited. So even if one were to have HaSafos on Shabbos, there's certain exceptions, right? Ein, Mafsikin, Beflodos, don't do that when it comes to the Tofacha. So why is the Tofacha an exception? What's wrong with having a HaSafos? So when you look in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara has two possibilities. One possibility is very simply as follows, that Musar Hashem b'ni altimas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you Divrei Musar. It's inappropriate to interrupt, right, in the middle of Divrei Musar. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that, listen, this is what you must do, and I'll say, well, wait 1 minute, we have to make a Mishaberach, we have to call up another Ola, we have to ensure everyone is quiet. It's inappropriate to go and do so, to interrupt in the context of Divrei Tochacha. And therefore, one should not go ahead and do so. The second possibility the Gemara mentions, that of Reish Lakish, that Ein Mevarchin Al HaPeronos. We try to avoid reciting a bracha on a davara. Sometimes Chazal are koveya, Kishem Shemevarchin Al HaTov, Mevarchin Al Hara. But when we're given the leeway, we have to recite a bracha. We could recite a bracha on a davar tov, so why recite a bracha on a davara? So if you're going to make a hosafa in the middle of the tofacha, so as such, you're going to be reciting a bracha on a davara. Typically speaking, we always try to avoid that. That is true when it comes to the tofacha, and that is a minhag in general. Even in shuls, when you have hosafos, gabayim have to know the theme of the kriya satorah, not to add an aliyah on a davara. They'll decide to have hosafa. So we'll end aliyah here, it's a davara, and all of a sudden we're reciting a bracha. So even if you have a practice of a hosafa, you have to know the theme of the lane. You can't just simply turn to the Bakari and say, you know, end right here. You have to know. In addition to knowing how close we are to the beginning of a parsha, to the end of the parsha, you also have to know the theme of the parsha. When we have, for example, a haftorah that ends on a davara, we always repeat an earlier pasuk in order that the brachos of the haftorah should immediately follow a davar tov, not follow a davara. So that is the chiddush of Reish Lakish. This chiddush was formulated in the context of the Tofacha, that in Mevarchin al HaPeronos. So the Taz raises, right, a clear difficulty. This Taz is found in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Tav Chav Ches, that if you were to ask me why we today do not have Hosafos on the Tofacha, I would answer as Reish Lakish is, because we recite brachos on each and every aliyah, and for us to add a Hosafa, you're reciting a bracha on a davara. That makes perfect sense for us. It rings true. You know what the difficulty is? It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah of Ein Mosifin Bekolos. And if it's a Mishnah, you have to explain this based on the practice in the time of the Mishnah. And I just mentioned, in the Mishnah, the first person will recite the first bracha, the last person recites the last bracha. Even if you were to have a Hosafa, you still would not have any Tosefes bracha at all. In which case, how can Reish Lakish explain the Mishnah in that fashion? If Reish Lakish would have said that for us, in addition to the reason of the Mishnah, there is another relevant tam, that would make perfect sense. But how do you understand Reish Lakish in light of the fact that this is a Mishnah where you did not have additional brachos? That's the kash that Taz raises in Tav Chav Ches. So the Taz answers an interesting chiddush, and that is, in practice, they didn't have extra brachos in the time of the Mishnah. The first person recited a bracha 1, the last person recited a bracha 2. But in principle, the Taz writes, that wasn't always the case. Why is it that the first person only recited the one bracha, the last person, the Achron, recited the last bracha? It's not that only he required a bracha, and only the Achron required the bracha. Every aliyah requires a bracha. It's just simply that everybody else would have in mind to be yotzei with the psicha of the Kohen and with the Achron in his chasimah. That was the mindset. Everybody has to make Kiddush. I look at your table, not everybody's making Kiddush. One person is making Kiddush. True. One person is Motzi Acherim Yidei Chavasa. The same thing is true here as well. Let's assume, for example, a person were to come late, and he would be accorded Revi, and he wasn't there when the Kohen recited the Bracha. Let's say for whatever reason he had to step out, and he wasn't present when the Kohen made the Bracha. The Taz writes a Kiddush, he would have to recite a bracha. You better listen. You better not come late. You better be attentive, because if they call you up for an aliyah, it's going to be a little embarrassing. You're going to have to make a bracha in the time of the Mishnah. You're not going to be able to rely on the bracha of the earlier Olef. You weren't there for the aliyah of Kohen. So therefore, the Taz writes, in principle, you could have brachos even the Zman HaMishnah. And therefore, we don't want to take that chance. We're going to have a Hosafa Bizman HaMishnah. We're going to call someone up during the Tochacha. You know what? Maybe he wasn't there for the earlier bracha. And he's going to have to make a bracha. That would infringe on reciting a bracha, Nadavara. And that's exactly what the Taz writes. Okay. You know, it's a questionable whether in fact that's true. Maybe one could argue, as the Ritva seemingly does, that the Takan and the Zman HaMishnah was the single unit of Kriyas HaTorah from beginning to end, only recited single brachos. Not that in principle each ola required, but in practice they were yotze with the bracha of another. And it is a chiddush. Is that really what the Mishnah means? They must see from the kolos because of the possibility that a person who didn't have a mind to be yotze would be called up and he would make the bracha. Maybe one could argue, right, somewhat differently. If you look, for example, in Avudraham, the Avudraham writes as follows. I mentioned that, you know, a person can lain the Kriyas HaTorah for this coming Shabbos and not even realize this is a takanas ezrin. We always announce in shul before the Tochacha that bear in mind that this is a special takanas ezrin. This is a special takanas ezrin. You know, when you come to Parsha Zacha, do you have to announce this is a special Kriyas HaTorah? We announce, have in mind, and listen attentively. But it's obvious it's a special Kriyas HaTorah because you're taking out an additional Sefer Torah and you're laying something that otherwise you wouldn't lay. Avudraham points out, you know, realize that the minhag in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Mishnah was not to lay the complete Parsha each and every Shabbos, but they were on a triennial cycle. They only used to lay one third, which would mean when they would come to the period before Rosh Hashanah or before Shavuos, they weren't in Parshas B'chukosai, they weren't in Parshas Kisava. And therefore, it was quite obvious, Bizman HaMishnah, that this was a special Kriyas HaTorah. He used to take out a separate Sefer Torah. And they used to lay. Let's assume Bizman HaMishnah, it's Parshas Zachar. So Kohen used to recite the first bracha. Shvi recited the last bracha. He used to take out a separate Sefer Torah for Parshas Zachar. No brachos? Well, of course brachos. Right. Those brachos were necessary because this was a separate takana of Kriyas HaTorah, not included in the Parshas HaShavua. The seamless Parshas HaShavua is a single unit that had single brachos. But if you were to have an independent Kriyas HaTorah, that would require separate brachos. So an interesting chiddush, if you look in Masechet Sofrim, right in the back of Gemara Avodah Zarah, right in Perek Yibbeis, on the bottom of Masechet Sofrim there's a pirish, Nachlas Yaakov. Nachlas Yaakov writes that this was true when it comes to Parsha the Tochacha as well. The Tochacha required separate brachos. This was a separate takana. The Tochacha required separate brachos. You know, Knesset Yisrael answered Amen on each and every bracha. The Tochacha required its own separate brachos. And he writes that if you were to have a Hosafa, even Bizman HaMishnah in the Tochacha, by virtue of the fact that that was a separate takana, you would require separate brachos. And therefore, Reish Lakish explains, even according to the Bizman HaMishnah, Ein Mafsikin B'Kolos, because of the necessity of reciting a separate bracha. That's not only true now, that's even true in earlier times. And an interesting chiddush, that is why Ein Mafsikin B'Kolos, but it's important. It's important to bear in mind. This is a separate Takanas Ezra, not merely incidentally that it so happens that we read these parshios before Rosh Hashanah, the parshios of Kisavo and Parshas Nitzavim. When you look in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos and Shoresh Gimel, the Rambam writes that in order for something to be counted as one of the 613 mitzvos, it has to be a mitzvah which is noheges ladoros. It has to be something which is enduring. It cannot be a horasha. There are many tzivuyim in the Torah that were given to Bnei Yisrael, but were not meant as everlasting, perpetual mitzvahs, but rather, it was true then, Bnei Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, there were many obligations that they had. They had to sprinkle the dung on the mezuzos, on the mashko. We're not going to call that one of the tarig mitzvos. It's not a mitzvah which is noheges ladoros. And therefore, the Rambam writes, this is one of the many principles that in order to be included in 613 mitzvos, one of tarig, it must be noheges ladoros. And with this in mind, the Rambam objects to the view of the halachos gedolos. Because the Baha'i counts the brachos and klalos as one of the tarig mitzvos. The Rambam objects. The brachos and klalos is something that occurred then, it occurred once, but it is not something which is noheges ladoros. And therefore, it is not something that one should reckon as part of tarig mitzvos. That's what the Rambam writes. So how do you explain the view of halachos gedolos that counts brachos and klalos among the tarig mitzvah? So the Ramban gives the following answer. There's a big difference between sprinkling the dam on the mashkof, on the mezuzos, and brachos and klalos. They have something in common. That only occurred once. But beyond that, there's a marked difference. When it comes to brachos and klalos, it only occurred once. But the implication, the effect, o'itchem levatchem, that's something which is binding ledoros, the krisas bris, is not chas v'shalom something which is only a horasha. The impact, the totsa, the kiyum, is nimshach ledoros. That is something that is everlasting. When it comes to the dam, that is something that only occurred then, and that is only something that was effective then. And therefore, that the Ramban writes is called a horasha. But something that impacts ledoros, that is not called Erosha. And therefore, it in fact should be counted. And the Ramban writes, that's why that in fact is true. Another possibility, interestingly, is what Avruchim Fishel Prolar points out in the Sefer Mitzvahs of Asad Yagon, because many of the Gaonim counted the Brachos and Klalos as part of Tayag Mitzvahs. And here he suggests that they were referring to, right, another element, another mitzvah, which certainly is no heges ladoros. You know, the brachos and klalos are mentioned twice in Chumash. In Parshas, the Chukosai, and Parshas Kisavo. And the Gemara points out that there's a marked difference between these two parshios. The brachos and klalos in Sefer Vayikra, the Gemara says, are b'loshon rabin. They're rendered in the plural. The brachos and klalos in Kisavo are rendered b'loshon yachid. And that is a fundamental difference. Because the Vilna Gaon points out that often you find that when a mitzvah is rendered in the plural, it means it is given to many individuals. Individuals. When something is rendered in the singular, it means it's given to the single unit, to Knesset Yisrael as a whole. When it comes, for example, to counting the Omer, there the Gemara is explicit. The Gemara Menachos Nav Samachei Usfar Ten Lachem Lashon Rabin. Everyone is obligated to count. Tosus immediately comments, not sure when it comes to the Ovel. There, the Pasuk says, V'safarta licha in Parshas Bahar, you, Klal Yisrael, as a single entity, are obligated to count the Ovel. So how is that done? You don't count individually, but you count collectively. Tosus writes, that means the Sanhedrin convenes each and every year. Tosus writes, you recite a bracha, I'm counting the years of the Yovel. This is the second year of the Yovel, this is the third year of the Yovel, and the like. But it is not a chiyuv incumbent upon each and every individual, because the mitzvah is rendered in the singular, not in the plural. So it's a fascinating distinction. The Gemara even points out in that very daf, in Menachos, Nef Samachay, the Torah tells us when it comes to Sfira Somer, Sfartam Lachem, Mimach Rasa Shabbos, the day after Shabbos. Shabbos is a little bit unclear. Shabbos means Yom HaShvisa, day of rest. It can refer to Shabbos or it can refer to Yom Tov. We know Machras HaShabbos means Motzai Yom Tov. We begin counting on the second day of Yom Tov, the conclusion of Yom Tov Darais of Yom Tov Rishon. How do you know that that's true? So one possibility the Gemara points out is because you know Sfiras Omer is unusual. Sfiras Omer is mentioned twice in Chumash, in Parshas Emor and in Parshas Re'eh, in Emor Usfartem, Loshen Rabim. But in Re'e, Shiva Shavuos Tispar Lach, B'loshen Yachid. So you have to account for Sfira Sa'omer, B'loshen Yachid. In a word, that Sfira Sa'omer requires Bezdin, it represents Knesset Yisrael as a whole. So one possibility the Gemara writes is exactly that point, that Sfira Sa'omer begins Machras HaShabbos. How do you know when it's Machras HaShabbos? Well, if it means the day after Yontif, we require the Sanhedrin, we require Bezdin to tell us. Matanash Yisrael Azmanim, when Rosh Chodesh, when Yontif, when Motzei Yontif, when to begin counting. That's called a Sfira HaTluya BeBezdin, and that accounts for Loshin Yochid, the Sifri, and Parshas Re'eh even goes a step further and writes that there are two counts. Sfira Sa'omer is counted in a dual fashion. It's counted individually because of Sparta Mochem, but it's also counted by Bezdin because Shiva Shavuos Tispalach. Why is that true? Why do you have to have almost a seemingly redundant dual count? Rosh Soloveitchik explained very beautifully that Sfira Sa'omer has two elements. There's a mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer, Sparta Mochem, but Sfira Sa'omer is also essential to be koveya, the yontif of Shavuos, because Shavuos is not linked to a calendar date. Shavuos will begin at the conclusion of Sfira Sa'omer, so therefore there is a count which is necessary to determine the onset of Yontif, which is a collective chiyuv, a chiyuv which is incumbent upon Bezdin, and therefore they have to count as well. So Yochid and Rabin is often that distinction. Earlier Shiurim, we discussed the concept, the theme of Baltosif. Baltosif is mentioned twice in Chumash. Baltosif is mentioned Parshas V'yaschanan, Lo Sosifo Lo Sigra Meno B'loshen Rabim. Baltosif is repeated in Parshas Re'eh B'loshen Yachid, Lo Sosifo Lo Sigra Mimena B'loshen Yachid. Using this model, that would seem to indicate that there are two different types of Baltosif. There's Baltosif that a person can violate individually, but there is also a collective Baltosif that the Sanhedrin could violate. Where do you see that this is true? This is an explicit position of the Rambam. How do you violate Baltosif? So the most obvious examples of the Gemara writes, Rosh Hashanah Chafes, when an individual performs a mitzvah bahosafa. A person dons tefillin with five parshas, dalet minim with five minim. That's Baltosif. Birchas Kohanim with four brachos. That is Baltosif. An individual performance of a mitzvah inappropriately. Bihosafa. But then the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim, Beis Alachates, there's something which is called Baltosif Dehora. Baltosif Dehora. The Rambam writes, the Sanhedrin is entitled and even obligated to institute Dinim Drabanan, to make Takanos, to make Zeros, to make Minhagim. That is incumbent upon the Chachamim. But the Rambam writes with an important caveat that they have to make it absolutely clear that what they are instituting is only a din derabbanan, not a din daraisa. For example, the Rambam gives that the Chachamim have every right in the world to declare that it is forbidden to have chicken together with milk. But if the Chachamim will indicate that that's the meaning of the pasuk of Lo Savashel, that Gedi includes not only basar but even chicken, the Sanhedrin will violate Baltosif. They have a right to do so as a din derabbanan. They do not have the right to do so, indicating that this is a din daraisa. Very important. No, that's the kiddush to the Rambam. In other words, there is something which is called Baltosif Dehora, Baltosif which is incumbent upon the Sanhedrin. So the Ravid has two comments. Number one is, where do you see this is true? Where do you see that there's Baltosif? The Chachamim maybe shouldn't do so, but where do you see that there's an Isser of Baltosif? And then the Ravid writes an unusual kasha. Isn't that what an asmachta is? Unusual kasha. Isn't that an asmachta? Where the Chachamim have a din derabanan, and they root it in a pasuk as though they're indicating that this is true min haTorah. Well, is that really the intent of an asmachta? The Rambam would write, absolutely not. The intent of an asmachta is not to pass on a din derabanan as though it is a din daraisa. But that's the Ravid's comment. So addressing even the first issue of the Ravid, where do you see that this is true? You know what I would suggest? That's exactly the two parshios of Baltosif. Baltosif is written twice in a Chumash. B'loshen Rabim, B'loshen Yachid. B'loshen Rabim is individual Baltosif. Baltosif of the Rabim. Each person can violate Bal Tosif. But then you have Parshas Re'eh, where the Isra Bal Tosif is reiterated, B'lashon Yachid. And there, the unit of Knesset Yisrael violates Bal Tosif. Where do you see that that's true? That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. That there's Bal Tosif of the representative entity of Knesset Yisrael. There's Bal Tosif of Sanhedrin. Where is the Bal Tosif of Sanhedrin? The answer is Bal Tosif Tahorah. And the reason I'll tell you this is clear in the Rambam is because when the Rambam, in two places, refers you to that Bal Tosif, in Perak Beis Halacha Tesef of Husmamrim, as well as in the very beginning of the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam lists the minyan HaMitzvos, and then the Rambam has two paragraphs, and then the Rambam discusses Bal Tosif as well. The Rambam, in discussing Bal Tosif of Orah, cites the Pasuk, in Parshas Re'eh, not the first again, V'yasanam. Why Parshas Re'eh? The answer is, why Parshas Re'eh? That is the pasuk of Bal Tosif Torah, because Bal Tosif there is rendered in the singular. It means Bal Tosif that refers not to the many individuals that comprise Knesset Yisrael, but the collective entity of Knesset Yisrael, and that is Bal Tosif in Bal Tigra. Dora, that's an interesting Kiddush that you find in the Rambam. The reason that this is so important for us is as follows, that the same is true when it comes to the Tochacha. Sfiras HaOmer, Bal Tosif, those are examples of that which you find twice in Chumash, once B'Lashon Rabbi, once B'Lashon Yochid, the same is true when it comes to the Tochacha, twice in Chumash, in Vayikra B'Lashon Rabbi, and in Kisavo B'Lashon Yochid. The Vilna Gaon points out that this is the meaning of the following. The Gaon writes, when you look in the end of the whole theme of the Tochacha, Tochacha begins in Kisavo, extends to Nitzavim, and in Nitzavim you find a very difficult pasuk. When a person hears the words of this Tochacha, a person's response will be, you know what? Peace will come to me, I can simply follow the desires of my heart. Very unusual. Now, that's the response of the Tochacha. The Tochacha goes on and on and on and tells you the magnificent brachos for one who follows the Derech HaTorah, and Rachman Litzlan, the klolos for one who does not. You finish the klolos and your response is, Shriris Levi Eilech. I can do whatever I want. That's the response to the klalos. The opposite is true. Right? You respond to the brachos and klalos with a sense of awe and fear and trepidation. You don't respond to the tochacha. You seriously be alive. So the Gaon answers, it's exactly this point. The tochacha in Vayikra is Gloshen Rabbi. That applies to each and every individual. Each and every individual has to count the omer. Each and every individual is admonished not to perform a mitzvah appropriately. Behosafa, Bal Tosif, and Bal Tikra. Lashon Yachid means collectively. It's not something that I necessarily have to do, but collectively this is what must be done. I don't have to count the Omer, but as long as Knesset Yisrael collectively does so, that need is satisfied. So that's what the Gaon explains. V'haya b'shamos divrei ala hazos. When you hear this Tochacha which is given Lashon Yachid, a person can make a grievous mistake and think as though, you know what, my actions are not so important. This doesn't necessarily apply to me individually. As long as Klal Yisrael as a whole observes the Torah properly, brachos will come. And if not, then klalos. But my personal response is not as critical. The Torah goes out of its way and tells us that is not the intent. Typically speaking, Lashon Yochid means Knesset Yisrael as a whole, as opposed to each and every individual. Here, why does the Torah use Lashon Yachid? It certainly doesn't mean Knesset Yisrael as a whole has to observe Torah mitzvot, but not every individual. That's what the pasuk continues. That you may make a mistake and think that it doesn't apply to the individual, and therefore the pasuk continues, no, lo itchem levadchem enochot koresus labris azos vesal azos. Here, the reason the singular is used is to tell you that this Christmas grace is not just for those of you here, individually who hear the words of the Tochacha, but rather, Larabos, as Rashi writes, the Doros Abay Mafrav, anyone who will ever be part of Knesset Yisrael, anyone who has any attachment, any inclusion in Knesset Yisrael, they are bound to this Tochacha. In other words, this collective entity that I'm referring to is not to exclude individuals, but to include every single member of Knesset Yisrael, B'Lashon Yochid, as Guf Echad, as Guf Echad. And therefore, when you look in the Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Zayin, Sanhedrin Daf Mem Gimel, you know what the Gemara derives from the Tochacha in Kisavo and Itzavim? The principle of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazim. That's the principle of Arvus. If someone were to ask you, how do I know this concept of Arvus? The answer is, right, Parshas Kisavo, Parshas Nisavim, Hanistaros Lashem and Alkenu, Haniglos Lono Vanenu, this Tochacha. This is not merely given to each one of us individually, but rather we are collectively bound, v'koshlu ish v'avonokim, that we will be held responsible for the aver of another. And Knesset Yisrael will benefit from the mitzvah of an individual. That's the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh. Rendered in the singular, because after all, as the Ritva explains, the Ritva writes, Rosh Hashanah Chates, the Ritva has a separate work which is called Hilchos Brachos, Perakei, Halacha Aleph. All of Knesset Yisrael is considered to be Guf Echad, a single entity, a single unit of Knesset Yisrael. You may ask that, why was that only true now? Why couldn't that have been the case even earlier in Sefer Vayikra? Perhaps one could suggest as follows, because it is at this juncture that Knesset Yisrael is about to enter Eretz Yisrael, and that's exactly what the Gemara points out in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Gimel, that all, the full scope of Arvus only began when Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yarden and entered into Eretz Yisrael. It's as though that Eretz Yisrael is a ma'achid, it's miyachid, it unites all of Knesset Yisrael. And therefore when you speak about the single entity of Bnei Yisrael, it's necessary to have Knesset Yisrael, right? Eretz Yisrael, our homeland unites. And therefore the full Dini Arvus only began when Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Tochav Lashon Yachid, right, is reserved for this particular time. Rucham Perler points out in Sefer Mitzvah Sefer Sadyagon that maybe that's the intent of the Gaonim that counted the Brachos and Klalos as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. It's a reference to the Mitzvah of Arvos, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh. And therefore that's why the Halachos Gedolos from Sadyagon will count this among Taryag Mitzvot. It's an interesting observation even for the following. Even if there's a concept of Arvus Min HaTorah, one could view Arvus in one of two ways. One could suggest that Arvus is an independent mitzvah. Or maybe one could argue Arvus is not an independent mitzvah, but you know what? Arvus is part of each and every mitzvah. If I'm obligated in a given mitzvah, my obligation is not really that I uniquely perform the mitzvah, but the arvus element of that mitzvah, that I have to see to it that others do so as well. And you know what? If I am sitting at a Shabbos table, and everyone is present, and I just make kiddush for myself, and I allow you to go in and to partake without kiddush, there is something lacking with my mitzvah kiddush, not just simply a separate, independent mitzvah of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. It's an important issue. Now there's a beautiful comment that Meshech Chochma points out that perhaps, this is what the Mishnah Sinach observes, and perhaps, right, the Rambam does not count Tshuva as a mitzvah. The reason I mention perhaps is because the Rambam does count Vidui as a mitzvah. So maybe Vidui is an expression of Tshuva. But the Mishnah Sinach maintains that according to the Rambam, there's no mitzvah of Tshuva, because the Rambam doesn't count it. He writes, Tshuva is a privilege, an opportunity, but not necessarily a mitzvah. And therefore, the Rambam does not count it individually as a mitzvah. Meshech Chachma points out, you know what? Even if you'll grant that the Ram does not count Shuvah independently, I'll tell you another reason why the Ram doesn't do so. It's because there isn't an independent mitzvah of Shuvah. Shuvah is part of each and every one of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Torah tells us there is a mitzvah to perform. There is an iser to observe. Now, let's assume, for example, a person violates an iser. He violates the iser of Nevela. He violates the iser of Chilul Shabbos. Part of that mitzvah demands tshuva. Because after all, if a person appropriates a tshuva, so zudanos nase kishagogos, and if it's tshuva miyava, zudanos nase kizakuyos. So each and every one of the tayag mitzvahs has coupled with it. Each mitzvah demands the process of tshuva as an independent mitzvah, not necessarily, but maybe as part of. That could be a possibility of Arvus as well. We touched on during the summer. To what extent Arvus is a separate mitzvah? To what extent Arvus is part of each and every mitzvah at hand? But perhaps that's the view of Rav Sadiga. Right.
Create a whole platform, a whole structure for it.
Right. That certainly is true. There's a platform, a structure, much detail. There's a prescription for tshuva. Tshuva is not just simply merely a frame of mind, but there are stages that are necessary for tshuva. That certainly is the case. But in this question, does that mean that this is a completely independent obligation? Or could one argue that this is part of each and every mitzvah? So, just as a mashal, perhaps that can be observed when it comes to Arvus as well. To what extent do we assume Arvus is part of my obligation in a mitzvah? To what extent do we assume Arvus is independent? Rabbi Kveger discusses in several places, most prominently in Shulchan Aruch and Simrei Shein Aleph. If a person is exempt from a mitzvah, can they be obligated in the Arvus of that mitzvah? Or do I argue that no, that Arvus is only an extension of my obligation in a mitzvah. If I'm exempt from a mitzvah, I'm exempt from the Arvus of that particular mitzvah. An interesting possibility. Whether in fact that's true, is it a separate mitzvah, or whether it is not. But a fascinating possibility within the Gaonim Shita, that the reason they count the brachos and klalos as a mitzvah is because that is the mitzvah of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebos. And that's surprising then, that it will be a Takanas Ezra to lane these parshios, the very theme of the Tochacha. What better parsha to lane before Rosh Hashanah than the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebos? So much of the Kedusha Sayom of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur revolves around the Tshuva and Kaparas HaTzibur as a whole, not merely of each person approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu individually as a yachid, but rather the collective nature. The need not only to be tokeh b'shofar individually, but it's keh shofar which is al seder habrachos, and the tefillah satzibur, vidui not only individually, but vidui as part of chazaras hashatz. The concept of the collective nature of tshuva, of vidui, of arvus, and therefore an appropriate lesson that we underscore, right, as an introduction to the Kedusha Sayyam of the Yamim Noraim. So again, the clear Takana says, one should be mindful of, right, this Shabbos, even though so conveniently our partials are arranged that it can really go unnoticed. It's not as obvious as Avudraham writes in earlier times, they used to take out a separate Sefer Torah, and they used to lay in the Parsha Satochacha. But even though it naturally is part of the flow, the sequence of the Kriya Satorah, to bear in mind that just as the Kriya of the Brachos and Kolos before Shavuos, before Kabbalah Satorah, is a Takanas Ezra, the same thing is when it comes to this coming Shabbos, and perhaps that suggestion of the Nachlas Yaakov, it's for that reason that one doesn't allow any Hosafos, the need to lay in as a single unit, and the need, even the time of the Mishmah, to have additional Brachos, if there would be any unnecessary Hosafa during the entirety of the Tochacha itself.